Yep.
Time to gather back together. Parable of the Minas. Talents.
Close enough.
Parable of the Talents. We will want to get going on this because we want to have lots of time afterward to have questions. So come on back. Yeah, Brian, Lisa. Come on back.
All right, okay. We're going to, we got one more session. Wow, do I understand? We got a really long question. Well, we got a break in there, too. That's good. We got a lot of time for questions at 4:10. So we did have a little bit of change. Instead of the parable of the minas, we're going to do the parable of the talents. And it's found in Matthew chapter 25. It says here, starting in verse 24 through 30. But really, the parable starts in verse 14. So maybe it should be 14 through 30. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. You're familiar with this parable, but let's just go ahead and read it just to refresh our memories. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. First thing I want to point out is these are his servants. These are all believers. Believers. Okay. And he delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with him and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 talents more besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received, by the way, I was just listening to a lordship guy, about 3 days ago, and he started talking about verse 24, and he said, this guy's going to burn in hell forever. He's not, trust me. He's a servant. He received a talent. Anyway, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not gathered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. And boy, here it is again. And casting the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so we got this parable of the talents, and I think maybe it's also in that book, Tough Texts, by Zane and Bob. And what I want to talk about here today is, this is obviously talking about the judgment seat of Christ. When the Lord returns, we're going to give an account of what we've done while he's been gone, what he has given us to serve him with. And what we see here, among other things, is we see the attitude that these servants have about serving the Lord while he's gone. This is talking about this is one of those phrases, bema. The Greek word bema is judgment seat. So if you see the word bema, it's talking about the judgment seat. This is not talking about the great white throne judgment. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you will not stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, where all the unbelievers of the world stand before the Lord, and they are cast in the lake of fire because their names are not written in the book of life. If you are a believer, you will not be there. John 5:24, Jesus says, he who believes in me will not be judged. He's talking about that. But you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not to determine whether you make it into heaven or not, but to determine your rewards. This is what's going on here in the parable of the talents. It's not talking about the great white throne judgment. It's talking about rewards. It's not talking about our eternal destiny of these three men. Once again, these three men are with the Lord. They're with him in the kingdom. The king has come back. The kingdom is here. They are with him. Unbelievers will not be in the kingdom. These guys all are. So this is not talking about the fact that they're going to be in the lake of fire. When you think about that day, as a believer in Jesus Christ, what do you think about the judgment seat of Christ? How do you view it? We're going to stand before him. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds which we've done, whether good or bad, right? And he's going to judge them as to what kind of quality they are. When you think about the prospect of that, what enters your mind? Some have a good attitude about it. I'm talking about believers. Some believers, when they think about the fact that one day they're going to appear before the Lord and give an account, they have what we would call a biblical attitude about that. Others, not so much. Talking about believers. And we see that in this parable. With these three servants, the attitude as they look to the day when they're going to give an account to the Lord, these servants have completely different attitudes. The guy here that is unfaithful, what we see about him is an attitude that any believer can have. I think about that coming day, and I'm afraid. Why am I afraid? Well, because he's Lord. I believed in him. He's too great. He's going to rule over everything. It's his kingdom, and I'm a nobody. You ever meet people like that? Or maybe you think that? You think about, you know, we talked about in the parable of the wedding feast, sitting at the head table. You ever have the attitude, that's not for me. Who am I? You know, nobody knows me. If you're a preacher, maybe you got an itty bitty church, or maybe you're a housewife. I'm just raising my kids. I'm a nobody. And so the idea of standing before the King of Kings and giving an account of my life, what am I going to say to him? You know, what do I have to offer him? And that can be the attitude that we can have. We might even think that rewards aren't for people like me. We might look at somebody like a Zane Hodges or somebody like that and say, now he'll be great. Or the pastor of this church or the elders of this church. Now they'll be great. But that's not for me. And you can say, that's okay with me. You know, that's my lot in life. That's who I am. It's no big deal. And I'm perfectly content with that. And you'll even hear people say, I'm going to be in the kingdom and that's good enough for me. Kind of like that old country and western song, give me a cabin in the corner of glory, or, you know, however it goes. I don't know how it goes. But as long as I got a cabin in the corner of glory, that's okay with me. And we all know people like that. Through the years, I've had many people express this kind of attitude. Part of what's being said is, Yeah, I know there's rewards in heaven, but rewards really aren't for people like me. It's for important people. Something like that. However you want to verbalize that. The guy in the parable is like that. The Lord calls his servants together. He gives them money. He gives one 5 talents. He gives one 2 talents. He gives this guy 1 talent, and the Lord goes away. There's 3 servants. The talents represent different abilities, right? The guy with 5 talents, we might say he has got more abilities than the other guy. Maybe he's smarter. Maybe he's got more money. Maybe he's a better speaker. Who knows? Maybe he grew up in a free grace home and you didn't. You know, we hate people like that, right? You know, we look at those people, everything goes well with them. We go, I wish that guy were dead, right? I mean, that's what we think. I mean, let's be honest. We could confess our sins later. But the guy with the 1 talent might look at the guy at the 5 talents and say, man, now that guy, I hate him, but he's the kind of guy that's going to be great in the kingdom of God, right? I mean, let's be honest, human nature, different abilities. And I'm from Kentucky, so I can say that. The guy with the 1 talent is a guy like from Kentucky, like, okay, I grew up in a home, maybe I wasn't even believers, didn't have a lot of money, didn't need to get a good education, whatever the case, whatever it may be, not much going for me. Okay, this is the guy with the 1 talent. And I think maybe we can relate to how he feels. But what I want you to see is, even the guy with the 1 talent here, he's given a lot of money. Now, when you read commentaries about how much a talent was worth, I to be honest with you, I get confused. It's worth a lot of money. 5 talents was worth a whole bunch of money. But even the guy who gets 1 talent, the Lord gives him this talent and he says, I want you to use this talent and until I get back. I want you to work for my kingdom until I get back. But he's looking at the guy with the 5 and looking at the guy with the 2 and say, well, those guys, this ain't really for me. Or however he verbalizes it. He's got a bad attitude. But notice the first two guys. First two guys got a great attitude. Look in verses 16 and 17. The Lord goes away, and then it says in verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with him. This guy is ready to go. And he made another 5 talents. And likewise, the guy with 2. The point that I want you to see is, the guy with the 5 talent, the guy with the 2 talent, they're pumped. Because here it is, the Lord says, I'm going away and I'm going to come back and I'm going to establish a kingdom. And I'm giving you the privilege of working for that coming kingdom. You can invest in that coming kingdom. You can be rewarded in the coming kingdom. And these two guys are like, let's do it. Let's go for it, man. That's their attitude about the fact that their king is coming back. What they're doing is, how lucky are we that not only are we believers in this king, not only are we going to be in his kingdom, but he's given us the privilege of investing in that kingdom. Let's get to work right away. Those are those two guys. That's their attitude about it. They immediately go to work, and they're excited. The way to look at it is, this world is passing away. Everything we invest in this world, our 401ks or whatever, one day they're all going to be burned up. But the Lord gives us the privilege of investing in something that's going to last forever. Rewards that are going to last forever. And these guys are like, man, whoever realized that schmucks like me and you would have this privilege. And that's what they do. They're excited about it. So they go to work. And time is of the essence. Why? Because the king says, I can come back at any time. So they're like, man, we don't have time to waste. We got, when that king comes back, I want to give him something for his kingdom. I want him to be pleased with what I've done. I can't be messing around here because he can come back at any time. And we're privileged people here. We got the best IRA in all of history that we're investing in, and we got to get to work. Come back at any time. Verses 42 and 43, watch therefore, you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. Be ready. This is what's going on here in Matthew chapter 20, after this parable, right? The Son of Man's going to come. You don't know when he's coming. These guys know that. They hear him saying that. So we got to get to work. They got a great attitude. And they are excited when he comes. Notice what happens when he comes back. The Lord comes back. Verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look! Look what the guy says. Look! I have gained 5 more talents besides them. The guy who had received the 2 talents says the same thing. He who had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look! I have gained 2 more talents besides them. I love what these guys are doing. Look how pumped they are. Lord, look what we did while you were gone. We want to show you this. It's kind of like the kid who draws the picture at school and says, Mom, look what I drove. What does the mom do? Put it on the refrigerator. Right? That's what these guys are. Look what we did. And the reason I like these guys is, how stupid is this? Here's the King of Kings who owns everything. And these guys go, look what we did. We're so proud of this. You gave me 2 talents. And I made 2 more talents for you. If I was the Lord, I'd be like, well, I own everything. It ain't that big a deal. You know, it's like the mother who gets a thing from her kids and like, it's an ugly picture, but I'm awful proud of it. I'm going to put it on the refrigerator. That's what's going on here. These guys are pumped, man. Look, behold. I think the Greek word is behold. Behold, Lord. Like he's surprised, right? But anyway, it's quaint. But notice the attitude of these guys. It was a privilege. And they're so excited about it that they could have done this for the Lord while he was gone. But the third guy, nah, that ain't his attitude. He sees the Lord differently. Notice what he says. Verse 24 and 25. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here it is. He sees the Lord differently. See, the other two guys, how do they see the Lord? The other two guys looked at the Lord and said, you know what? He just told us that he would reward us if we would be faithful to him with what he gave us. How pumped are we for this, man? We can invest in it. He's going to come back. We have the privilege of honoring him. We have the privilege of him being pleased with us. He is a generous Lord. Look at what he's doing for us. This guy's different. I knew you to be a hard man. It's not for guys like me. That's his attitude. You're not a generous man. You're not someone who wants to reward me. You're not generous. And I think if we read between the lines what this guy is saying, there's no way I could please someone like you. And my guess is he probably looked at the guy with 5 talents and said, I hate that guy and I wish he were dead. And the Lord only gave me 1 talent. That indicates I'm a nobody. And I feared him. And I think, again, what if he blew it? You know, serving the Lord, one of the things I'm doing a study in the Gospel of Mark, and when you study the Gospel of Mark, if there's anything that comes out about the disciples, it's this. If you're a disciple of the Lord and you're following him, you're going to blow it. You're just going to blow it. And my guess is that part of this guy was, I'm a nobody, and if I do something, it's not going to be successful. I'm going to blow it. You know, one of the things that I've realized just recently in talking, especially to Free Grace guys, it's amazing how many times you talk to Free Grace men and women, and they start off doing some ministry, and they go, man, I really blew it there. It didn't work out the way I thought it was. And then I did this, and then I did that. I think that's this guy's attitude. You're too great. I've only got 1 talent. you own everything. And if I do anything for you, I'm just going to blow it anyway. And besides, you're not generous. You're a hard man. You're not really interested in rewards. Those are for other people. It's not for people like me. And besides, whatever I do, it's just for you anyway. You're going to reap. And there's no joy in this guy. The attitude of this guy is, he's got the wrong one. So, what is the truth about the Lord? Verses 26 and 27. The Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not gathered seed or scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received it back with my own interest." I think what we see here is the Lord did expect him to serve him and work. But here's the key. He did not expect him to earn as much as the other guys did. Do you notice the guy with five? He gets five more. The guy with two gets two more, but each of them get the exact same reward from the Lord. The Lord expected them to do based upon what he had given them. And so the point is to this one guy, I didn't expect you to make 10 talents, but you could have doubled it just like the other guys did. Your one could have become two, and you would have received the same reward as the guy with five talents. The Lord wants to reward this guy. He wants to be generous to this guy, but he expects at least a minimum effort. If you would have given it to the banker and got interest, I would have rewarded you. You didn't think I did, but I would. He wanted to reward him, and the Lord is generous. Look at the way he treated the other two. This third servant could have been just as great in the kingdom as the other two, but he had the wrong attitude about his Savior, about his King. He's a lazy slug. And I put this in here. Catherine, do we have the clip? Oh, good. Okay. I got a little humorous clip in here. Here's what I'm doing with these pictures, what I'm trying to do. When I look at these three guys in this parable, imagine that there is a beautiful estate, and a very, 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 very rich man owns this estate. And he goes off on a journey, and he calls his servants together, and let's say one guy is in charge of the whole house. He's in charge of all the servants. He's in charge of everything about that house. He's the guy with five talents. And then let's say you have a guy who's in charge of the horse stables. And, you know, because this guy likes horses and race horses, he's the guy with the two talents. But what if you're the guy in charge of the chicken coop? If you're the guy with the chicken coop, you got to pick up the chicken poop all the time and clean it up. How easy would it be the guy who's in the chicken coop saying, "What difference does it make what I do? What difference does it make? I'm not the guy who runs the house. I'm not the guy who watches all the thoroughbred horses. I'm cleaning up chicken poop." But now imagine that the owner of the house returns and he goes into the house and he eats breakfast. And suppose the guy who ate who was watching the chicken coop cleaned all the chicken poop up, took care of the chickens, and he had the best eggs in the world. And the owner of the house comes in and he eats an omelet and he says, "Man, this is the greatest omelet I've ever eaten in my life." And then he walks out and he says, "Who's responsible for these eggs?" And he finds this guy, and then he goes out there and he sees that, and he goes, "What's that?" And the guy who runs the egg says, "Oh, those are all the foxes I killed because they were after your chickens, and I killed them and I buried them out in the backyard because I care about your chickens because I want you to have the best eggs in the world." What's the owner of that house going to do for the guy who took care of the chicken coop? The man, you know, he's going to reward him. But the guy in the parable, he's the guy in the chicken coop, and he's going like, "What I do is not important. The King doesn't care about me. I can't be great in his kingdom. All I do is clean up chicken poop." And I got this clip that I love because I like Andy Griffith. And gives you an idea. Where's that? You got it? Huh? Oh, I got to tell, explain. This is No Time for Sergeants. Andy Griffith. He's a country bumpkin, a nobody. And he's given a job that people don't think he'll like, which is cleaning the latrines. Everybody know what latrines are? Okay. And this is how he looks at his job. Okay, yeah. Oh, hit it next. Oh, let me see. Maybe it's at the very end. I'll come back to this. Okay. Oh, back one. And hit the middle. Okay. Okay, there you go. His attitude. Where's the toilet seat standing up? I missed it. Oh. Well, okay, that's good enough. It's when he walks in, all the toilet seats come popping up. He's very proud of cleaning all the but his attitude. His attitude was trying to get about the guy, and this guy does not. Point is, no matter who you are, the Lord wants to reward you in his kingdom. Doesn't matter what you do, he wants you to be faithful in what he's called you to do. Whether it's cleaning the chicken coop or cleaning the latrine there. And this guy did not realize that because he only had one talent. Okay, lessons learned. Don't compare yourselves to others. Don't be a slug. Serve the Lord. You're going to blow it, but that's okay. Christ wants to reward us. He's generous. I often say, the Lord's not a cheap rewarder. What we do for him, he's going to reward us abundantly. And it's exciting, the opportunity that he's given us. No matter what our talents are, no matter where he's placed us, what a privilege it is to serve him. So that's it. Questions, or do we go into the big question with everybody?